I mean, listen, we're talking about practice.
Playoffs? What are we talking about? Playoffs?
Come after me! I'm a man! I'm 40!
This is KETR's Locker Room, your sports podcast for Northeast Texas. Each week, we look at the biggest headlines in sports and highlight local sports stories. Here's your hosts.
All right, this is Friday, August 30th. I'm Cooper Welch, and here with me in the studio is my co-host, Taylor Phelps. Jordan Davis couldn't make it today as he's got some class stuff to take care of, and obviously, we're college students. College comes first, so Jordan, we hope to see you on Tuesday. In the studio today, we've got a special guest. Robert Reed is joining us. He is the interim head coach for the A&M Commerce cross-country team. And we're also introducing a new segment on the show. It is a Cowboys chat with Jesus Torres. Jesus Torres is a Dallas Cowboys beat writer for rantsports.com. And by the way, I also work for rantsports.com, just so you know. Just have to say that as a public radio thing, just so you're aware. But we're starting a new segment with him this week that Jesus Torres is coming with us each week, and he's going to talk to us about the Cowboys, what they're doing, whether or not they're terrible or good, going to win the Super Bowl, whatever. We'll do that each week, probably on Fridays. And this week, to start us off, he actually came in and did an interview with a former Cowboys tight end and three-time Super Bowl winner, Jay Novacek. So we're going to actually just play that for you right now, and then we'll come back and talk a little bit about who Jay Novacek was, and then talk with Robert here in the studio. So here comes the interview.
Okay, you're listening to KETR's Locker Room. With us today, we have a very special guest. He is former three-time champion tight end of the Dallas Cowboys, Mr. Jay Novacek. Good morning, sir.
Dude, I'm doing terrific. How are you doing?
I'm doing great. Thank you. Now, this year at the TCU-LSU game, y'all are bringing back the 60 Seconds of Mayhem?
Yes, doing the All-State 60 Seconds of Mayhem, where they're kicking field goals at halftime. We got a couple fans, one from TCU, one from LSU.
Is there going to be anything different from last year, or is it still the same? You know, you get to go to...
Pretty much the same deal. We're going to have Brady James, who played for LSU, and Larry Brown. Yeah.
Wow.
TCU. I played with Larry. I couldn't even remember his name.
That's not good. He's a good guy.
Yeah, he's a great guy. I just talked to him the other day, too, about it.
That is outstanding. Sir, I remember, you know, way back when you had your football camp out here in East Texas at A&M Commerce, or really, really close to here. Any chance we get to see you come back out here and hold it again?
Unfortunately, no. We had some of our best camps out there, and the campus was great. The people were awesome, and unfortunately, I'm not doing the football camps anymore. But man, those are some great times.
What do you think about the 12 personnel that the Cowboys are going to be running this year? How do you think our tight ends are going to fit that system?
You know, the way it looks, the way they've been putting different tight ends into the different packages and into different situations, I like it. I think eventually this running game will really benefit from this two tight end package. They have some really unique and good plays designed with that package, those two tight ends in there. And I think throughout this season, they're going to get more comfortable with it. The offensive line's going to get more comfortable with it. DeMarco Murray will be able to read a little bit better as opposed to having the fullback in front of him. It's a little bit different for him. But I think it'll benefit this whole running game, which they really need.
How do you think, when you were a young tight end and you were getting into this league, how big was blocking for the tight end? Was that specifically what you were expected to do as opposed to being a pass catcher? Or were you expected to be a pass catcher on top of being a blocker?
Well, normally back then it was, they weren't used in the passing game a whole lot. There's a few teams that did that. One was the San Diego Chargers, and then the Washington Redskins. And I got drafted with the St. Louis Cardinals, who kind of used that West Coast offense, so the tight ends were used a little bit more in the passing game as opposed to just strictly in the running game. So I was very fortunate to be able to get drafted by the Cardinals, so I fit that system a little bit better. And so it's used, but nowadays, man, everything is kind of a wide open and pass happy offenses that people are coming up with. And, you know, shoot, Jason Witten caught 110 passes last year. I've never had 100 passes even thrown to me in a year. So it's pretty amazing how the tight ends have really been utilized lately.
Now, while we're speaking about Jason Witten, I know you've gone on the record as saying that you think he is the best tight end. Why is sir? Why do you think he is the best?
Well, one of the things that makes him the best is his work ethic and the love of the game. And if you have that, you're going to constantly strive to be better and better, which he's been doing every year. Obviously, his numbers are, you know, better than anyone else's. The way he plays the game, the way he understands the game, his intelligence, he's a very intelligent football player, and you put all that package together and nobody can stop him. So, yeah, he's the best.
Absolutely. He's personally one of my favorite players, and it is because of that, because of his work ethic. I wish we could clone, we could clone Jason and have 52 Jasons running around on this team. I think that would be outstanding.
You don't want too many of them. Then you'd have just nothing but a bunch of great tight ends. You wouldn't be able to get anything else done.
That is correct. I guess what I'm trying to clone is his work ethic then. And put it in a bunch of guys.
Yeah, buddy.
Looking at the tight end, the rookie that we drafted, Gavin Escobar. I know he hasn't shined like people thought he would during the preseason. Particularly, you know, they say that he struggles with his blocks. Have you evaluated him yet, or what's your take on him?
Well, I really don't evaluate a whole lot of players, but you have to understand that when you're a rookie, and especially in a position like the tight end position, it's hard to really shine. What you don't want to do is go out there and be noticed because of mistakes. And you haven't noticed that from him. You haven't said, oh, he made a mistake there, made a mistake there. He's been very consistent and a player that has understood the offense and started getting more accustomed to what he needs to do and the role they want him to play. And so because of that, he's not going to be one of those players that just does dynamic things and you just go, wow, all the time. He's one that's going to be kind of like Jason. You just don't make mistakes. You're going to go out there and do your job, and next thing you know, got the numbers. He's going to be a great player.
That is definitely reassuring. How do you think James Hanna will do in this 12 personnel system? And I know they were talking about using maybe even 13 personnel. How do you see that working with James Hanna and Witten and, of course, Escobar?
You know, James has really done a good job with understanding his role, too. I think that he's the second year that he's coming into is going to be a much better year than last year. Obviously, people would try to do a little bit more to stop Jason, and which will open up a little bit more opportunities for that second tight end to not only make some catches and catch some balls, but to make some big plays too. And that's where he will be good at that. And luckily for young players like that, they will not be thrown into a situation where they have to do this and have to do that, because that's what we have Jason Witten for.
Absolutely. If you're just tuning in, This is KETR's Locker Room. I'm Jesus Flores, and I'm currently talking to former three-time champion tight end of the Dallas Cowboys, Jay Novacek. Sir, how would you say, or how do you feel about the state of the offensive line? I know they're you know, they got some problems along the guard, and injuries have really exposed a weakness in depth. How do you feel about that?
All those guys need to do is just work as a team. They don't have to be the best at their position, but if they all work well as a unit, and if they're good and they don't make mistakes, their offensive line is going to be just fine.
Okay. You were on three Super Bowl championship caliber teams. Obviously, they won three of them. What do you think this team has to do to get back to that promised land?
No, it's simple. I mean, we've been talking about that this whole time. You cut down on your mistakes. You give yourself that much more of an opportunity to really get your team back on top of things. And, you know, every time you make a mistake, it just gets harder.
Absolutely. Sir, the change to the change back to the 4-3, was it weird seeing the Cowboys in the 3-4 there for the 6-7 years that they did it?
Oh, no, that's, you know, there's changes all the time. So, you know, you end up doing, those coaches do what they think is best for their team. And because of that, you end up changing. They're changing back, and will it work? It's probably going to work just as well as the other way.
Oh, I hope it works better, but, you know, that's coming from a Cowboy fan. Do you think the additions of the coaches and these new coaches that were brought in, do you think those are the right additions? What would you say to that?
Well, like I said, you know, there's changes all the time in the coaching situation. There's very, very seldom, even when we're winning Super Bowls, did we ever have the same coaches year in, year out. People went on to be head coaches, different personnel changes. And so, Jason Garrett, Coach Garrett, just has to understand that whoever is there, you have to manage that. You have to have them be as good a coach as they possibly can.
Oh, yeah, I definitely hear that. If you're just tuning in, this is KETR's Locker Room. I'm Jesus Flores, and I'm talking to former three-time champion, tight end of the Dallas Cowboys, Jay Novacek. Sir, let's say, you know, you have to pick one MVP on the offense and one MVP on the defense for the 2013 year. Who are your choices and why?
Every year changes. You can't do that right now. We haven't even played a game yet. So, okay. But you know, back to Allstate, and you know the game that we're going to be watching tomorrow.
LSU and TCU, correct?
Yeah, LSU TCU. You know, the Allstate has been one of the premier partners with Cowboy Classic the last few years, and they have this ultimate road trip sweepstakes, and they'll be able to, one lucky winner will have a chance to bring three friends, and they're able to attend the 2014 Allstate Sugar Bowl, which is in New Orleans. And not only that, but they then get to go to the BCS championship game.
Wow.
And it's pretty amazing. You can register and figure out and find out more about the sweepstakes at allstatecfb.com.
And that is allstatecfb.com?
Yes.
Okay, so ladies and gentlemen, you heard him. If you want to register to try to, you know, go out there and kick a field goal for your chance to win, go to, is it allstatecfb.com?
Allstatecfb.com.
Awesome. Okay, sir. Thank you. Thank you for being on with us here at KETR, and we really appreciate it, and good luck out there. Look forward to seeing you at that TCU-LSU game.
Awesome. I'll be there on the west side at the All-State tailgate party from 3:30 to 5 o'clock before the game tomorrow.
Outstanding. We'll make sure we try to come out there and talk to you. And for the fans that are out there, absolutely go out there and see Jay Novacek and talk to him. And, you know, go out there and show support for what he's trying to do.
Sounds great, guys.
Thank you, sir.
Thanks, man. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
All right. Thank you so much, Jesus, for that interview with Jay Novacek, the former Dallas Cowboys tight end and three-time Super Bowl winner. So, guys, what can you tell me about what you know about Jay? Do you know anything, or is that before your time?
That's a lot of before my time. Okay. But, you know, a great Super Bowl winner. And
yeah.
You get, I mean, a guy who played with Troy Aikman and or was it Troy Aikman? What was when did Jay play?
He was on those teams.
Yeah. Was he on those teams?
That was the Super Bowl winners.
Yeah, those Super Bowl winning teams and impressive resume. So you got to give him that.
Yeah. Well, let's just move on right on to Robert. Then.
Probably the more important interview, the more.
don't tell Jay that. But yeah, so Robert's here in the studio with us, and we're going to talk to him about just what's it like being an interim coach for a school?
Well, first off, I just want to thank you all for having me on here. I'm really excited being an overall sports fan myself that KETR is supporting this this effort to have a sports talk show in the area and, like y'all said, in Northeast Texas. And so I listen to it weekly and, you know.
At least somebody does.
Yeah, no, I'm sure y'all get more people. But no, it's really exciting. And, you know, I've been really blessed this past year. Once I graduated with my master's over the summer, I was given the opportunity to work in the kinesiology department as an interim instructor. Dr. Block is the head over there, and she's given me many opportunities to teach different classes, and I thank her for that. And you know, this process of becoming interim coach is something that I saw myself maybe, you know, taking on down the line. It's definitely not something that I saw happening.
It hit you out of nowhere,
yeah,
really.
Yeah, it really did. You know, Coach Schneider, Darren Schneider, unfortunately left. He found a position at Minnesota State Moorhead, which is also a Division II institution, and it's actually right across the road. I don't know if you've ever seen the movie Fargo, old Fargo, North Dakota.
So that's cool.
Yeah, but that's closer to that's closer to his home. He's his family's from up north. He coached in Wisconsin for a couple of years, and it's just you know, it's an opportunity that he saw to be closer to his family, and it was you know, looking at it, it was the right move, but it kind of put us in a, you know, in a situation where we don't really have a lot of support staff besides myself in place. And I'm just trying to keep everything afloat and do the best that I can.
And that wasn't even your primary job anyway, was track and cross country. You were more of an instructor.
No, it wasn't. I worked as a volunteer assistant for Coach Schneider, I guess, for 2 years with both the cross country and track teams. So I worked primarily with the distance runners.
Right.
And it's just one of those things that, you know, like last year, the job with the kines department, it just kind of, it was there for me. And now this coaching job is just one of those things that it just kind of happened to fall in my lap. And I mean, it's kind of crazy to think about, but, with classes, today's finally my off day, and, you know, with classes, done for the first week, I'm finally get some time to breathe. And, you know, we've really got some, a strong squad, probably one of the deeper squads that we've had since I've been here. In some capacity since 2006 as an athlete. I remember coming in our first year, we only had five men runners for cross country. And for those of you who don't know about cross country, you have to have at least five runners to score at each meet. So we were kind of
very shorthanded.
Very shorthanded. And it's one of those things that prior to Coach Schneider coming in, while I was an athlete, I had between cross country and track five different head coaches.
Wow.
And so just you know, just Coach Schneider, it's unfortunate that he had to leave, but you know, with him being here for the past 4 years, it's just one of those things that the program has definitely been fortunate to have him here. Mm-hmm. But it was time to move on, and I have full faith that the administration will bring in the right person. Where we had four finalists for the positions. They were here on Monday and Tuesday interviewing. I got to meet all of them. And we've narrowed it down to two, and we're just waiting to pick the right one, and we'll go ahead and make an offer. So hopefully we'll have that person in place next week, and then they can get down here as soon as possible because we'll be doing indoor track this year. And,
Wow, okay. Yeah,
they've been itching to get started with workouts, and but with cross country, like I said, I'm really excited. We have some, like I said, we have two of the probably the deepest teams that we've had this year. We're up to 15 men on the guys' side and 12 women. We added, I think eight newcomers on the guys' side and three on the women's. With our women's team over the past couple of years, Coach Schneider actually 2 years ago put me in charge of recruiting. And the first year, I actually doubled the women's team. Just we were able to spend more time, kind of allocate our duties.
Yeah.
And so those ladies are sophomores now, and we have three freshmen. Two we're looking at are going to be immediate contributors. Kelsey Greer is a transfer from Southern Arkansas. She actually won, or no, I'm sorry, she got second at their meet that we went to. Our women's team actually won that meet, but I'm looking at her stepping in and kind of being our top dog. And then Tara Truitt is a runner from Pampa, which is up in the Panhandle, mm-hmm. and she actually placed second last fall in the 3A state championship. And,
wow!
Yeah, so just watching
which
her
race in the cross country?
Cross country, yeah. Okay. So 2 mile. She placed second in 3A, and she's in the Honors College. And just from meeting both of them and talking with mm-hmm. them over the past 2 weeks, they're going to be really good additions to our team. And just continue on the girls' side, because like I said, it's just a rebuilding process. We have a lot of good returners as well. Mary Hammonds was actually our top distance runner during the track season. She placed eighth in the 10K. Which actually scored for us on our women's side, and it's been a while since we've had a women distance runner score in the conference meet, and I couldn't go back in the results and find anything in the past 8 to 10 years of any wow. of any woman scoring.
Wow.
So she's going to be another one for us. Julia,
and as a freshman too, you said,
yeah,
right?
Yep, yeah, yeah, she's a freshman. She really she's really talented. She's from Arlington, and she was actually one of the first recruits that I talked to and got out here. So and Brooke Ferris, she was injured during the track season, but she's looking strong, as well as Caroline Katsakis and then Julieta Esquivel. But the guy side, we've been pretty strong for the past couple of years. Yeah. Dory McCraddock and Ricky Romero, or Luis Romero, will be entering their sophomore seasons. Dorian was the freshman of the year last year in cross country, and just seeing him over the past couple of weeks, he's definitely came back, still looking strong. Mm-hmm. And then Ricky, or Luis, he was second for us in the 800 for track season. And he's one of the most talented guys I've ever seen in my life. I mean, mm-hmm. he didn't come to school last year in the best shape, but he definitely, once he gets here, once he starts putting in the work, he gets after it, and yeah. He loves to compete. We also have Everett Wilder, who I believe was 20th place last year at conference, but he placed third in the 10K for us in track. And then we got some newcomers that I'm really excited about. Ivan Rodriguez from El Paso. He's a 4:17, 9:32 guy. So
wow.
It's, 1,600, 3,200 times.
That's really impressive.
Mm-hmm. And I believe he placed, I should know this. He was he was in the top five for cross country for the 4A division.
Mm-hmm.
So we're going to be relying on him down the road. And then Mark Gonzalez is another freshman from LD Bell. He's came to school in shape. He's ready to compete. He talks to me on a daily basis,
right?
And I'm really impressed by him. We're gonna do a time trial tomorrow, and I'm definitely excited to see what everybody can do.
Right.
So, talking about just the track teams this year, or cross country teams, mm-hmm. excuse me. Where are you predicting? And I don't even know what the Lone Star Conference predictions are right now.
Sure.
But what are you looking at as? Hey, we can really do this. We can really be at this level come conference time. What do you think about the men and the women?
Well, and I feel bad for not knowing this, but at the same time, preseason rankings are
you almost
really
might not want to know it.
Yeah, sure, sure.
Yeah.
But at the same time, I can't recall what it was off the top of my head. I believe we were picked to finish fourth or fifth. Mm-hmm. But it's just one of those things. Preseason, you know, it really doesn't matter. I'm more worried about what conference on October 26th in New Mexico. Mm-hmm. With our men last year, we finished fourth. West Texas, Eastern New Mexico, and Tarleton finished ahead of us.
But we have most everyone back.
We do.
From what it looks
like. We do. We lost. Now, we did lose two contributing members, Alex Kemp, who was one of our real leaders on the team, graduated early and went on to Pitt, to PA school, and then Ross Hicks also graduated. So losing those two guys is gonna kind of hurt us from a leadership standpoint, and just having some continuity there. But he's with the team. We've had some people step up and kind of step into those roles. With our women last year at conference, we finished seventh out of nine schools, and we're definitely looking to with our additions and keeping everybody healthy. Knock on wood, but we're hoping that we can improve on that. But conference, you know, I think with the guys, West Texas is looking really strong. They added a couple of they added two athletes from Kenya. And then two European athletes. They had, I believe, three European athletes on their team last year. So the coach out there is doing a really good job at bringing in some good athletes. But with cross country, anything can happen.
So when we're projecting, like, you know, we come to the conference time. I know that cross country is kind of it just takes longer to get things rolling and get your team together and stuff like that. Who do you think is our standout guys? Who is our consistent week by week, you know, leaders that are gonna the ones, you know, placing at the top for us?
Well, with Dorian last year, he was the freshman of the year, and so we'll definitely be counting on him. Ricky as well. You know, I think he's gonna start off right where he left off last year. I believe he was 15th last year in conference, which is all conference. Everett, as this is going to be Everett's senior year, and I know he definitely wants to be successful. And so we're definitely kind of looking at him stepping up from that 20th place finish last year. I'll tell you what, too, Tyler Hemingway, entering his senior year. He's one of those guys that he was really determined this summer, and he's came to school and he's in really good shape. So we do have a good mix in terms of youth with Mark and Ivan that we brought in, and seniors with Tyler and Everett. And, you know, we're kind of built pretty good moving forward to where we'll still be able to bring some pieces in next year.
What about the women? Do you think in the women's side that our best runner will be a freshman, or do you think it will be one of the returners?
Well, it's hard to say. I haven't seen them. I've seen them do some workouts over the past 2 weeks, but we're really having our first hard effort tomorrow. It's going to be a time trial. The guys are going to do 4 miles. The girls are going to do 2.5 miles. Reasoning behind that is I like to do
on the track.
I don't think so. Okay. No, we're gonna hopefully find a dirt road, relatively flat. I've been running in them. I've been running them on some hills lately, and I think they're kind of getting a little tired of hills. But we'll be doing them for a little bit longer. So, you know. If you look at just the numbers, Kelsey from Southern Arkansas, she's actually from Melissa, so right down the road.
Yeah.
She's one of those that if you watch her every day in practice, she does everything she can. We had a run yesterday where we had – sorry. We had a run yesterday morning, and it's still kind of hot and – about 2 or 3 days a week, we'll have two workouts. And so if our second workout is way too hot to run outside, we did a pool workout. And then we went into the weight room with Coach Farmer and did a kind of a circuit workout. And then after the weight, she asked me if she could run when she went home, because she only ran once that day. So
talk about committed. I'm trying to get out of running as much as I can. Yeah. Yeah. They're wanting to run.
Yeah, it's just one of those things where she's established. She was first team all conference for the Great American Conference,
right?
And she placed well at regionals, and you know, we're definitely counting on her. But you know, if she's if there's a freshman or one of our returners that can step up and be our top runner, you know, we'll be sitting good.
Well, you know, Robert, we kind of want to know about you too, also, because, you know, I started thinking about it while you were talking, And I think you've been one of the longest people in the athletic program to be here.
Yeah.
I mean, I think Coach Walker's been here longer.
Oh, yeah.
Neil Piper's been here longer.
Coach Bledsoe.
Coach Bledsoe.
Yeah.
But athletic director, was Judy here when you first came here?
No, Judy
wasn't.
Judy wasn't here.
No.
Was Michael Hill here?
No.
So I mean, if anyone has been here, it's really been Robert.
Been
and
Robert
you've been
and
used
Coach
in
Walker
so many
and,
different ways. Because,
yeah.
I mean, I'm telling you guys, Robert is a guy who's done it all. He does mm-hmm. stats at basketball games. He's worked in the kinesiology department.
I've seen him at football games.
Healthy performance. He goes to football games. He helped me with my thesis yesterday doing mm-hmm. data collection. He's ran here. He knows the athletes. So, you know, what I'm trying to get at is, now that you're an interim coach, what is it like being an interim coach and coming from that kind of background of doing so many things and being an athlete, and all of a sudden, wow, you know, it's only been 9 years later or 8 years later and I'm the coach?
Yeah, well, it's like I said earlier, it's one of those things where I didn't expect it to happen this soon, and but I believe that I'm ready to take on that challenge, and I'm fortunate enough that Dr. Block and Ryan Ivey, the athletic director, were able to kind of come to an agreement to allow me to do mm-hmm. still teach courses as well as coach, because if I wasn't around the
yeah.
cross country runners, they wouldn't really have anybody. But you know, it's just one of those things. I mean, y'all been calling me Robert the whole time, and the freshmen know me as Coach Reed, which that's been one of the hardest things to get used
it
to.
It is
kind
different.
Some of the upperclassmen like Everett, Tyler, Raymond, I was their teammate at one point, and so they know me as Robert. And,
yeah.
You know, I'm pretty easygoing, and it'll be one of those things that it'll just take an adjustment period. But I believe that just my experience within the athletic department not only as a coach, but as a runner. I've kind of earned their respect, and you know, recruiting a lot of the girls from 2 years ago, and I know a lot of them, have great relationships with them, and so. But yeah, I love the department. Ryan Ivey has came in, and he's
done great things.
He's mm-hmm. done so much, and that's one of the reasons why I'm not really concerned with the head coach, because even though we don't have someone in place, he did his research, and he got four great finalists in.
Yeah.
Like I said, we're down to two, and I believe either of the two will be really successful. And you know, when they come in, I'm excited, so I'll have some help. I've been doing some of the administrative aspects, you know.
So even when we get this guy, is this still kind of your track? This is your cross country season as coach, or do you think he won't want to jump into that and interfere with what you've been doing?
You know, it kind of depends. One of the finalists, is his background is in multis, and then so he does sprints and field, and he told me that if he were to get the job, then I would be the guy for cross country. And then there's another guy. The second candidate is he's kind of done it all.
Yeah.
But he coaches a cross country team right now. And it's one of those things where I talked to him, and I talked about his training philosophy. It's something that I agreed with. It's similar to what I did when I was an athlete, and mm-hmm. and what I think works. And so I think either guy will be great. They've both had a lot of success, and it's just one of those things where whatever they need me to do, I'm willing to do it. And I'm going to put forth my best effort to make sure that, you know, we're running good, or we're running great. And in the middle of October, in Portales for conference, and then again in Canyon, for regionals. So it's, you know,
we'll be there. I mean, I know that we support you, and like you said earlier, we call you Robert because we know you
yeah.
as Robert. I mean, I've been here 3 years, but when
yeah. well, actually, we recruited you for track
yeah.
and cross country.
I mean,
yeah. and you wouldn't.
I knew Robert before I even came here,
yeah.
and you were an athlete then.
Yeah. Yeah, I was an athlete. I was
so
here.
Like the next year I mm-hmm. see Robert, and he's a GA, but I still know him as Robert.
Yeah.
And now we're here. He's the head coach.
Yeah.
And I'm still an athlete, and I still know him as Robert. So
yeah.
there's definitely a barrier there too.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know how you do it, because I've thought about the same thing, you know, myself wanting to coach and get in athletics, but to stay at the same place and have to deal with that, and have to deal with people that were your coaches
sure.
and knew you as a student.
Mm-hmm.
It's definitely a challenge, but for them to have faith in you,
mm-hmm.
to be like, this guy can coach this team, that says a lot too about who you are and everything like that also.
Yeah, and you know, I appreciate that. And it's just, you know, I think deal with is the wrong word. I mean, that deal with kind of has a negative connotation to it. But I'm fortunate that I've had those relationships, that I've had those experiences over the past couple of years. And, you know, once this batch of seniors graduate next year, then I guess all of my ex-teammates will be gone, and there'll be, you know, there'll be a new group of freshmen coming in, and you know, we're starting to get rolling with recruiting, and it's one of those jobs that's kind of a 24-hour thing. I was earlier this week, we had practice at 6:30, and I was in the field house, I guess, from 6 to about 10 o'clock, just doing a whole bunch of different things. But it's one of those things that, you know, I love. This athletic department's given me a lot of this athletic department and the kinesiology department have given me a lot of opportunities, not only with my degree, but also as an athlete. And it's something that I want to give back. And like I said, I really appreciate the opportunity that they're giving me. And it's one of those things that I'm not going to take for granted. And, you know, hopefully once we get a new coach in, it'll be great. And with once track season starts, hopefully everything will be a smooth process. So,
all right. Well, thank you so much for coming on, Robert.
No
we got to take a quick break, but we will be back to talk Rangers and Cowboys. This is KETR's Locker Room.
Thanks, y'all.
Every day you hear our announcers say, support for programming is made possible in part, and then mention the names of local businesses and nonprofit organizations. These groups already know the value of the KETR audience. If you'd like to learn what these folks already know, call 903-513-9684 today.
My name is Charles.
My name is Charles.
One day I had a sudden headache.
I had a headache.
My arm went numb and I felt confused.
My arm went tingly.
I was having a stroke. My wife dialed 911.
I had a stroke on the bus.
Seconds made all the difference.
If you or someone you know has any of these symptoms, don't wait. Call 911.
Time lost is brain lost.
For more information, visit powertoendstroke.org. Brought to you by the American Heart Association, American Stroke Association, and the Ad Council.
All right, we are back here on KETR's Locker Room. Cooper Welch, Taylor Phelps, and Robert Reed decided to stay with us and talk some other sports because he's a big sports guy as well. So first, guys, we're talking the Rangers, and we've got a big question for you here. Who is the better Cy Young candidate, Yu Darvish or Max Scherzer? So what do you think?
Well, I mean, we know where we're located here, so I'm going to, of course, say Yu Darvish. But when I'm looking at baseball too, you know what I can't stand is I hate the records of pitchers.
Yeah.
Because Max Scherzer's 19-1. Wow, you know, he should win. But when we look at baseball players, they're never compared by wins and losses. You know, there's Hall of Fame players that played for terrible teams.
Yeah.
But it's all numbers. You know, basketball, football are measured by championships. And whether that's fair or not, that's just we've decided that as a society that we're going to judge Michael Jordan as a great player because he won 6 championships. We're going to judge NFL players and quarterbacks based off how many Super Bowls they won. Mm-hmm. Baseball is not that way. So I don't understand why even 19-1 comes into the conversation, even though he has other good numbers too. But I mean, you to me is doing just as well as Max Scherzer. And I think Max Scherzer is in the lead. I think that
he's definitely in the driver's seat.
He's there if he, you know, keeps up the level of play that he'll stay there.
Yeah.
You know, baseball is one of those sports with, you know, wins, losses, RBIs, those stats that have been around forever. You know, you've seen an increase in the amount of sabermetrics or the advanced statistics. And, you know, one of the biggest examples that I can think of Cy Young winners in the past couple of years, you had Felix Hernandez when he won the Cy Young. I believe he only won 12 games or something like that. I can't remember
and
off
lost
top of my head.
20 or 25.
No.
It was more losses than wins.
Yeah, it was something along those lines. And I think we've all seen the movie Moneyball where Billy Beane tried to incorporate those advanced statistics. And You know, you really see things like on base percentage now, and
it's ridiculous. There's a stat for how many home runs they hit over the left field wall in October for their career. Yeah. I mean, it's like crazy when they come up with these stats. And I'm like, what does that have anything to do with it? But I guess it's trends and it's correlations. So,
Well, you know, Matt Scherzer's definitely had a really good year, but in terms of dominant, I can't really think of another pitcher, at least in the American League. Kershaw can have a good case for, but Darvish, I believe he's the most dominant pitcher
in
the American League.
Yes, and I'm so glad you said that, because when you're watching him, there is that dominance, and I think that's what we look for in great players. That's who deserves MVPs. And
the only problem that I've seen with Darvish is that he doesn't pitch well when the other team's already in the lead. He tends to give up. Like, if he allows one run, okay, the game's pretty much over. Like, we saw that in his last pitching start. He allowed a few runs. The Rangers almost came back and won it. They were tied, and then they allowed one more run, and he didn't get the decision.
Well, that was the issue earlier in the year. They weren't giving him any run support.
Yeah.
I mean, and as a pitcher, if you're going out there and you're, you know, and you have 10 strikeouts through six innings, but
you allow
two runs, maybe a home run here, and the offense hasn't scored any runs for you. You know, it's kind of deflating, but it's something that, you know, over the last couple of months, I know you said the last start he didn't get a lot of support, but over the past couple of months, it's something that the Rangers have during his starts they've been hitting well, and I think it's just one of those fluky things.
Yeah,
it's not something. It's not Darvish's fault that he's getting run support, and it's not a testament to Scherzer that he is getting run support. It's a testament to the offense. So wins, it's more than just the pitcher's ability, but it takes into account the offense and as well as the defense.
Yeah, well, and we've talked about you before how great he has been. Let's just do a statistics number side by side. Scherzer is 19-1 with a 2.9 ERA, 201 strikeouts, 43 walks, a 0.93 WHIP, which is walks and hits per inning pitched, and a 5.7 WAR, which is wins above replacement. Yu Darvish is 12-5 with a 2.68 ERA. That's the second best in the AL, behind only Sanchez.
Anibal Sanchez.
Yeah. Who's a pitcher also for the Detroit Tigers.
And he was also hurt earlier this year, too.
Yeah. And he's got 225 strikeouts in 15 less innings than Scherzer. So he has more strikeouts and in less innings. 58 walks, which is significantly lower than last year. A 1.09 WHIP and a 4.5 So just looking at the numbers, I mean, the only thing that Scherzer beats him in is wins above replacement and WHIP and walks. Other than that,
but looking at ERA and strikeouts, when we're talking dominance, like you said, strikeouts, I mean, that's dominating.
Yeah, and well, let's just think about it this way. Scherzer has not come close to a complete game or to a perfect game this year. Yu Darvish almost did it twice.
And the number of 14 strikeout games that he's had, I think he set the major league record for the number of 14 strikeout games. Another thing you didn't talk about is the park that they play in. Detroit is a lot their park is a little bit bigger than the one in Arlington, and also you hear the jet stream. It's
a pitcher's park.
Detroit is definitely a pitcher's park, and Darvish with half of his starts coming in at home, hypothetically, it's just one of those things where I think that's another nod that you have to give to him, that he's doing it in Arlington versus in Detroit.
Yeah, it's definitely impressive. Well, let's talk about the opponents we have coming up next. We talked about Darvish, by the way, because he is pitching tonight against the Minnesota Twins. They are headed to Arlington for a three-game set. Now, let's talk about the Twins themselves. They are currently on a five-game losing streak after falling to Kansas City 3-1 on Thursday, as the Royals completed a three-game sweep of their division rivals. Minnesota has scored only six runs in their past five games, including scoring only one single run in four straight games.
Wow.
Now, the Rangers haven't allowed more than five runs in 25 consecutive games, which is also very impressive. The first time an American League team has done that since Kansas City did it in 1980. So, This looks like a pretty good opponent.
Yeah.
This is something we need when we're only three games out.
We need a sweep because of a team that hasn't, that's only been scoring one run a game.
Yeah.
Hopefully somehow, you know, our bats are good enough right now where we can at least get two.
Yeah.
And I think our pitching's doing okay unless Matt Garza shows up and, you know, flops like it looks like, you know, like we talked about last time I was on, we talked about Garza and how it's like he's lucked out all this time. So let's see how he does when, but I don't think Minnesota's going to be that team.
No.
Because they're not hitting off anybody.
We need to see him pitch against Oakland and against LA.
And those are
going to
be our big
LA
series, too.
At Pittsburgh.
Well, after Minnesota, we are facing Oakland. And one of the things over the past month, and I looked at this at the start of August, the Rangers are really fortunate that their schedule was as easy as it was over the past month.
For sure.
And the A's, when you looked at their schedule, they had one of the toughest schedules of anybody. I believe the combined winning percentage of the A's schedule over the past month at the start was above, I believe it was like 530.
Yeah.
And they still have Tampa Bay, and then they play Texas after the series with Minnesota. So even though we do have a three-game lead on them, it's one of those things with us playing Minnesota.
It's deceiving.
Yeah.
It is deceiving, but the Rangers, you know, at one point a month ago, we were
down six.
Six and a half, I believe, yeah. Mm-hmm. And
we brought that back in a week.
Mm-hmm, we did, and we've continued. We got a little bit of a gap, and I think with us playing the Twins and, you know, if we can get a sweep would be nice, but if we can get two out of three and then just kind of maintain that three-game lead on Oakland – and then, you know, hopefully battle it out. We do play them, I think, two or three more series before
like
the
you
season's
said,
over.
Yeah, you know, you talk about Oakland series coming up. You know, the reason we were able to come back from six games is because we
went and beat Oakland.
We went and beat Oakland.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So if they do that to us, you know, the table's flipped.
Yeah.
Because it's going to be back to the same thing that
if they sweep us, it'll be tied.
But we still, we still do have that three-game cushion, which is good. And, you know,
and
but
I think two more series, like you said. Mm-hmm. So those two series are going to be huge. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and I think that's what I'm most nervous about is this upcoming block of Oakland and then at L.A. and then Pittsburgh and then Tampa Bay. And that's
Pittsburgh's
toughest,
a scary.
Yeah.
Pittsburgh's definitely a scary series.
And you never would have thought Pittsburgh would
be. but I mean, you know, last year I think they kind of made a similar run. But one of their outfielders who's really come on this year, Starling Marte, he's been hurt. And, you know, I think with Pittsburgh, they're kind of playing above what everybody expects them to. And
oh, without a doubt.
And, you know, it's going to be a testament to them if they can keep that up over the last month of the season because they do have a relatively younger team, and it's one of those things, if a city can get behind you and you can get momentum going, you never know what can happen.
Yeah, especially for, like you said, they're playing as the underdogs right now, even though they're good, and they've been good all season.
Yep.
But,
well, all those seasons of being bad and getting those great draft picks are finally starting to pay off.
It starts to pay off. That's great.
Let's
management in kind of a low market. Kind of a low market area. I mean, not everybody's like New York and L.A. that can just go out and buy people, and Pittsburgh's done a great job of, you know, having their farm system and building people through that instead of relying on, like, the Yankees have screwed themselves now with spending
terrible
all their money
contracts.
And terrible contracts.
Yeah. And then you got, you know, with Pittsburgh too, you got a guy like Andrew McCutchen who's really the face of the franchise and is really becoming one of the most recognizable figures in baseball and he, you know, he's a great player.
He's the Ryan Braun that doesn't do steroids.
Yeah. Yeah.
All right. Well, let's talk a little bit more about what the Twins have going for them right now. Currently, there is no Joe Mauer on the team. He met with the media for the first time on Thursday after sustaining a concussion on August 18th. The six-time All-Star plans on returning sometime in September, but he won't make the road trip this weekend. Now, Mauer's only hitting .229 for his career against Texas, but he does have five of his seven lifetime home runs against them at Rangers Ballpark. It looks like Ryan DeMitt is handling the main catching duties in Mauer's absence. Now, if I was the Twins, as far back as they are in the division and as far away as they are from making the playoffs, I just say rest Mauer for the rest of the season.
Definitely.
Get him healthy. Don't make him play. I mean,
what else are you playing for?
This season does not matter.
Exactly. I mean, it matters to fans to see them win. I mean, I would think we would agree, too. Even if, you know, the Cowboys aren't in the playoff run, we'd still like to see them win. But all the same, to management and for the success of the franchise overall, why would we worry about getting a guy back?
I mean, I remember last year you and I were and Billups were talking about Cowboys, please bomb so we can get this draft pick, you know?
Or let's Mavericks, too. I was like, you know, this is in the NBA, especially because your spot in like football, too, is so dependent on how you finish. I was like, please, just sometimes it's good to be terrible.
Yeah, and, terrible and, with a capital T.
Yeah.
Well, I think with the Twins, too, and with specifically Maurer, you can't really mess around with concussions. It's one of those things that
especially
if you don't come back, or if you come back too soon, it can put you out for even longer. And with it being the last month of the season coming up, you know, I really don't think he'd be at risk of missing spring training or anything. But it's just one of those things you really got to be careful with. And I think the Twins, you know, they just kind of they need to go in fire sale mode, maybe put some players on waivers and call up their young prospects to see what they can do.
Right. Well, we're running out of time on the show here. We've only got about 10 minutes left. So we're going to just skip the Cowboys questions for right now. We're going to talk to Jesus about that next week. And let's move on to college sports. Big weekend.
Big games yesterday.
Yeah, big games yesterday. Jadeveon Clowney impressed, as always. South Carolina beat North Carolina pretty well. USC beat Hawaii. I think that was the other big game. But
really, Hawaii played pretty well, too, for a little bit. And I think the biggest game last night was SEC football, of course, again with Vanderbilt
and Vanderbilt
and Ole Miss playing last night. And I don't know, did you catch that game at all, Robert? At
no, I believe I was helping you with your thesis.
Okay, that's what it was. And anyway, just huge game at the end with like touchdowns, like two touchdowns last minute, and Ole Miss ended up winning.
I know Vanderbilt does have one of the best receivers in the country in Jordan Matthews. And I think I think he had a pretty good game. But, you know, Ole Miss is one of those teams, and I'll be honest, you know, outside of the headlines, I'm not the biggest college football fan, so I might just kind of be a bystander in this conversation. But I do know that Ole Miss, you know, with their recruiting class that they got in this past year, with
they got some ridiculous freshmen.
With the number one player in the country, that defensive end, and I think they had three or four of the top 50 players. So that's one of those teams that could definitely be on the rise in the SEC.
Houston Nutt's a pretty crazy guy. If he's still he's still there.
I don't know if he's there or not.
Okay, well maybe not. Anyway, but yeah, lots of impressive stuff going on in the SEC as always.
Cooper's living back in
Houston Nutt.
I'll tell you one thing though, if Ole Miss had gone with that Commander Akbar as their new mascot, I would have transferred in a heartbeat. I would be an Ole Miss.
Well, have you seen the new mascot for Tulsa?
Uh-uh.
It's a puppy golden retriever.
And the Golden Hurricanes?
But for some reason they picked a golden retriever as the mascot.
That makes no sense to me.
But it doesn't make any sense.
Miami Hurricanes as well.
The Ducks. Yeah. But they for Tulsa, at least, they're getting a lot of publicity with that, you know, with that mascot change. So I don't think they didn't change the nickname, but their mascot is a golden retriever now. So,
All right. Well, let's talk some Heisman hopefuls, I should say. We've got AJ McCarron, Jadeveon Clowney, Teddy Bridgewater, Johnny Manziel, Taj Gibson, Lachey Seastrunk, and DeAnthony Thomas as our leading nominees, let's say the locker room nominees for the Heisman. So which of these guys do you think is the most likely to get it?
I'm gonna go with you, Taylor Robert, what you know.
With what I know, if Manziel can stay out of if Manziel can keep a pin out of his hand, then I think he's he's one of those guys that I mean like I said, I don't have a team that I pull for, but he's one of those guys that you just have to watch. You know, I don't know about him personally, just some of the things that he's done in his family, but on the football field, you can't deny his talent, you can't deny his ability.
Can't at all.
For sure.
I mean just for the you know, just for the sake of college football, the game, I'm glad that he's back just so I can watch him this year, and I'll definitely be watching him closely, more closely than I did last year. So I'm gonna go with Manziel just because I like watching him play.
So and a repeat?
A repeat, yeah. Okay. I mean, I know a lot of teams will be gunning for him. Especially, I'm sure Alabama will go to College Station once.
But
some
I think
payback.
People were gunning for him last year once they saw what he could do.
Sure, yeah, but
still weren't able to stop him.
He's gonna have a target on his back, and but you know, it's just he's one of those special players.
When I'm looking at it, You know, A.J. McCarron's a good quarterback, but I don't think he has the excitement around him. He doesn't have the hype.
Mm-hmm. His girlfriend is more popular than he is. Yeah.
Which I understand why. he's more popular to me, too. Teddy Bridgewater's a good quarterback at Louisville. Yeah. A really talented guy.
Yeah.
But he doesn't get as much media attention because he's not in the SEC. From what we've seen. Now, Jadeveon Clowney, I really think a lot of people are liking him. Mm-hmm. Just because we haven't had a defensive player in a while. You know, Manti Te'o came close before he had a fake girlfriend.
Yeah, and Ndamukong Suh came close, too.
And Ndamukong Suh came close. But I don't think there was as much hype preseason around them as there was around Jadeveon Clowney. Mm-hmm. This guy is... we started the college football segment talking about him. And this is a guy who's just... a freak to watch. I mean,
he's called the freak now.
Yeah, I mean, it's ridiculous. I think he was SportsCenter's top play of the week for like a ridiculous Forever. Amount of weeks.
Yeah. The tackle on the Michigan running back. Yeah,
yeah, and that was scary. I mean, I don't want to mess with this guy. I don't think anybody would mess with this guy. But you know, really, if I'm having to pick between these guys and who I really think will win, I don't think it will be Manziel. Just strictly because of. There is a lot of hype around him, but there's also a lot of pressure that comes with that, and I don't think he felt as much of that last year. And any mistake he makes is going to be seen by everyone.
Yeah, sure.
Whereas Clowney's on defense, and if he blows one assignment, it's not going to be seen the same way as if Manziel throws an interception.
Right.
So I think there's so much pressure involved that I think Clowney ends up winning the Heisman.
All right, well, that's going to do it for us today. We're going to see you next week. This is KETR's Locker Room, Cooper Welch.
Taylor Phelps.
Robert Reed.
Thank you so much for listening.